The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Tonight, Iran launched a large-scale of coordinated attack on Israel. The regime in Iran fired a massive swarm over 200 killer drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles towards the state of Israel.
It's a developing attack that is unfolding in slow motion. The drones take several hours to travel roughly 700 miles from Iran to Israel, giving the Israeli military and its allies time to divert, jam, or shoot them down.
Moments ago, President Biden boarded Marine One. He's cutting his weekend short and returning to Washington to meet with his national security team as the U.S. is bracing for potential Iranian strikes on Israel.
What is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
But Iran isn't listening.
For the last several minutes, we've seen these flares streaking all across the skies over Jerusalem. And now for the first time, we're hearing the air raid sirens.
Yeah, so about an hour ago, we were seeing trails of orange, these orange flashes in the sky, and then the thud of Israel's air defense in action. It almost sounded like thunder.
Thank you. Yes, I can.
Iran says the attack is revenge for an airstrike on Iran's embassy compound in Damascus nearly 2 weeks ago that killed seven members of Iran's Revolutionary Guard, including two top commanders.
Israeli officials are meeting tonight to determine what their response will be to this drone attack.
Well, Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, he came out and made it very clear that not only are air defenses ready, but that any country that hurts Israel, Israel will hurt it.
Israel, obviously, it's our greatest ally. We have to help them face this threat. And I hope that the Biden administration is looking at ways that we can intercept as many of these drones that are coming Israel's way, because the fewer of them that get through, then the response from Israel can be proportional. And hopefully this doesn't get out of hand.
Before going any further, I want to say God bless the people of Israel. They're under attack right now. That's because we show great weakness. This would not happen. The weakness that we've shown is unbelievable, and it would not have happened if we were in office. You know that. They know that. Everybody knows that.
The world has changed because of what Trump has done. And the American people, including independents and some Republicans, know how bad he is, know how much he's misrepresented, know how he's getting close to getting us in a war. I said, as the walls close in on this man, I'm worried he's going to get us to war in Iran. Unfortunately, I may have been right.
says the man that's presided over all of these international conflicts. War is just erupting everywhere. And the fake president is there to talk about, you guessed it, Donald Trump. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. Lots and lots to get to on the show. Of course, you can get to the live video stream of this program at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily, and you can join in on the live chat over there. You can leave us some comments, and of course, the Rumble thumbs up so that it can up our rating. We did have, I forget which show it was, but it was promoted on Saturday, I believe, by Rumble. And it got up to 55,000-60,000 views, I believe. So more good promotion. And speaking of promotion, it worked both ways. General Michael Flynn was in town yesterday. Big, impressive bus as he was traveling on the movie tour, as I mentioned in previous weeks. And it finally did land here in Edmond, Oklahoma, at the beautiful Armstrong Auditorium. The pictures you see right there, he was able to enjoy a guided tour at our archaeological exhibit, The Kingdoms of David and Solomon. And so I think that went on for about an hour and a half. He squeezed quite a lot of activity into the Sunday afternoon, arriving at about 12:15. We had a nice banquet for him and his crew in the balcony of Armstrong Auditorium. After that, we sat down with him on stage, just with our students and staff here locally, and we were able to have a Q&A with him. It was, I guess, more of an interview. We didn't have time for too many questions. And then after that, he had the guided tour. I think he had a few meetings on the phone briefly, but then he had the guided tour. Then he met with his the VIP ticket purchasers at 5, once again up in the balcony, and then the documentary that started in on at 6:30 in the evening. So I think the whole event ended at about 9 p.m. It's interesting, the crowd, I think there were about 400 that came, not as many church members for this event. The ticket cost was pretty high because you got exclusive access to meet General Flynn as well as seeing the documentary. But we did meet some interesting people. One lady who heard about the Flynn visit back in August, I guess she heard about it through Rumble on one of my programs that we were promoting. She came out here for that visit to Armstrong Auditorium. And then she said, I've been watching the Trumpet Daily ever since. She loves the show. I spoke with another family from Idaho Falls that came. They had actually come down to, South Dakota, when Celtic Throne performed there a couple of years ago. And now they made the two-day trip just to be in town for the General Flynn visit, the documentary, and I think they're staying here a couple extra days as well to do some other things. Another interesting note is that we were able to, I think we distributed about 25 copies of this book, America Under Attack. We just had a little, of course, we, as you know from this program, we offer everything without cost or obligation. So there was a stand in the lobby that people, visitors, whether they were there for the exhibit or coming out from the event, were able to take a free copy home with them. So spreading the word as far as it will go. And of course, while all of this was happening, the attack on Israel, that's, and even Brent Noctegal, who gave Mr. Flynn the guided tour, he said, you could tell that General Flynn was very, very concerned for Israel because they're being attacked from all sides. And now it's not Iran, working through a proxy. This was a direct attack coming from Tehran. And of course, I know all the Biden people were out there instantly. I mean, before all the bombs had even dropped, saying that, it's not that big of an attack. We're shooting 99% of them down, so it's no big deal, right? Israel's the one that has to de-escalate. When we talk about it not getting out of hand, we're really talking to Israel. Now, don't you retaliate. You better not respond. If you do, it better be proportional. Listen to the regime, Joe Bama, as they came out in full force. Basically, the implication in these comments is that, it was a little attack, but that Israel, shouldn't really do anything in response. Just like Israel's supposed to pull back out of Gaza. Now that it's gone on for 6 months, and there were some aid workers that died, don't you know that? Never mind the victims, the Israeli victims, or even the hostages. There's supposed to be more than 100 still being held hostage. How many of them are even alive? Nobody cares for those victims. It's just the ones that are gunned down in the crossfire when, Israel is responding. When Israel is responding or retaliating. Listen to clip 2.
Does President Biden support Israel retaliating now after the Iran attack?
Well, we don't want a war with Iran. We don't seek to widen and broaden this conflict. We don't want to see things escalate.
When you talk about de-escalating, so is it the position of the Biden administration that Israel should not retaliate on Iran or Iranian territory now?
Again, that's a decision that only Prime Minister Netanyahu and the war cabinet can make. I mean, there's no question that what Iran tried to do, and I emphasize the word tried to do, was an escalatory step.
Nope.
But let's talk about what didn't happen. And just because Iran conducted this unprecedented attack, which we and our Israeli partners and other partners thwarted, doesn't mean that we should just accept a constant rising escalation in the region. The president's not going to accept that.
Has this now escalated into a wider war?
I don't think there's any reason that it needs to. Know that the president is working the diplomatic side of this personally. In fact, today, just a little bit later today, he's going to call the G7 together to talk about a diplomatic response here.
The Iranians feel a need to respond. They believe their sovereign territory was hit. The question is whether they are really aiming to escalate in a big way using multiple capabilities or whether they're engaged in some kind of symbolic exercise. Even if it's the latter, it still begs the question whether Israel responds militarily.
The temptation for Iran to race ahead with the nuclear program could be pretty high. Until now, they've been moving steadily, slowly, but they haven't been racing toward it as far as we can tell. And that's been an interesting bit of restraint. President Biden and his aides have been on the phone to Prime Minister Netanyahu and others saying, let's let tonight be it if there are no significant casualties.
I think this was a big attack by Iran. I think this was as close to a maximum effort as they could generate.
And I think some people, if you ask them off the record, would say that the manner in which Iran responded was, I mean, it wasn't responsible. It could have caused a lot of damage. But they were telegraphing their punches. They did give Israel a chance to prepare. They did communicate to the United States through third-party intermediaries. They did say that they hoped that this would be the end of it. So they have acted with a degree of restraint.
What's happened is on April 1st, Israel broke a longstanding precedent and actually attacked, you know, Iranian territory, in Syria, the Iranian consular building. Then the Iranians broke a longstanding tradition now and fired missiles directly at Israel. The question now becomes, can Israel restrain itself from another attack? Because otherwise you get into a tit for tat. Once more, Bibi Netanyahu has found a way to, you know, get his way.
There you go. The regime calling on Israel to restrain itself. You'll notice one of them talked about how that they kind of telegraphed it, Iran, not just to Israel, but even to the U.S. We learned this from reporting yesterday at the Jerusalem Post. Iran informed Turkey in advance of its planned operation against Israel. A Turkish diplomatic source told Reuters on Sunday, adding that Washington had conveyed to Tehran via Ankara that any action it took had to be within certain limits. So Joe Bama knew. Joe Bama was coaching. Joe Bama said, yeah, you can go ahead and attack Israel, but just make sure there's certain limitations. So you heard the fake president in the cold open say, what's your message for Iran? Don't. No, actually, it was do. Go ahead and attack. Go ahead and attack our greatest ally in the Middle East. Supposed to be. This has Barack Obama's fingerprints all over it. I mean, it goes all the way back to the JCPOA. And then they talk, too, about the race. I mean, we don't want to upset the mullahs because then they might race to build the bomb. Right now, they're just kind of, you know, it's more of a, they're pacing themselves. They're taking their time. It's worse. We talked about the broken will of Israel last week or week before. I can't remember. But this is worse than a broken will. This is Israel. That would be Manasseh, the United States. This is Israel siding with the enemy. This is Barack Obama empowering the mullahs. This is Barack Obama, Joe Bama, the fake administration, whatever you want to call it. This is Joe Bama saying to the mullahs, okay, yep, go ahead. Hey, the Ankara representative, go ahead and tell the mullahs that they can proceed with an attack on Israel. But just make sure there are certain limitations. This is outrageous. It says here, the Turkish source, speaking on condition of anonymity, said Turkish foreign minister had spoken to both his U.S. and Iranian counterparts in the past week to discuss the planned Iranian operation. So Joe Bama knew it was, they knew it was in the works. I mean, we were picking up all those reports last week. You know how it works. Joe Bama, he sends the leakers out there, then the regime media, they run with it. Everybody knew it was going to happen. Then when it happens, we just kind of, we downplay it. And we say, well, hey, I want to emphasize, says Kirby, I want to emphasize that Iran tried to attack. Because, you know, we shot 99% of them down. So it wasn't really an attack. We thwarted their efforts. How does Israel survive with these forces aligned against them? Richard Palmer, in his morning brief, he had an article yesterday. We posted it at the website, thetrumpet.com. He talks about, in that article, go to thetrumpet.com website, by the way, and again, read about this, just some of the history going back to 2009. And how that the Obama doctrine was to hand over the Middle East to not Israel, certainly not the United States, but to Iran. Yeah, let them be the regional power. And we'll help them get a bomb. Now, maybe they shouldn't race toward it, but we'll set things in motion to where they'll get it eventually. Richard said Barack Obama enabled this, and how the Biden administration, he's talking about his article from Sunday, allowed sanctions on Iran's drones and missiles to expire. Here's what we've learned since then. Yeah, we've lifted all these sanctions. I mean, you do the bottom line calculations here. We have given Iran tens of billions of dollars. General Flynn even tweeted this out yesterday, how that we're empowering or rather funding all of these nations that are warring amongst themselves. And we just keep sending the money and the weapons in some cases. I mean, Israel certainly needs some support. And they're losing that support from America. So you can see why, as prophecy says, they're going to end up going off to Assyria for assistance. You look at these forces aligned against them, as I say. The U.S. just lifts the sanctions on drones to Iran. They lift the sanctions on selling oil. Iran is selling more oil than ever. China's buying a lot of it up. China is funding the number one state sponsor of terror. And it all has Joe Bama's blessing. How about that? Talks about a 7-year-old Bedouin girl that was severely injured. So more injuries in Israel. But hey, it wasn't that bad. So if there's any kind of a response, just so you know, Israel, it better be proportional. What would, maybe not today, but in some time ago, what would the United States do if 300 missiles came into our airspace? What would any nation do? What would any nation say to another nation not named Israel if they had that happen to them? It's an impossible situation for little Israel. Melanie Phillips touched on this in her piece today. The U.S. knew of the attack in advance. That's in the morning brief. The U.S. Let me just try to wrap your mind around that for a moment. The United States, under the direction of Joe Bama, the dear leader and the fake president, they knew about the Iranian attack on Israel in advance. Yeah, that's right. The two allies, you see, They knew in advance. It says now the U.S. is pressuring Israel not to respond. Biden told Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, you got to win. Take the win. Yeah, they fired hundreds of rockets at you, at your nation, and you won. So don't do anything in response. Iran is watching. China's watching. Everybody's watching. So much of this is about the optics. What happens if Israel doesn't do anything? Well, you can expect 300 more rockets to come sooner rather than later. It's just like leaving Hamas intact in Gaza. They'll lay low for a bit, and then before you know it, it's another October 7 experience. It says here, this wasn't Iran's only attack on Israel. It also seized a commercial ship with Israeli ties as it passed the naval branch, near Iran. That was in Hormuz, I guess. Iran is getting pushier, Richard writes, and is not even hiding behind its usual proxies and terrorist groups. This is leading to the time when Iran will push against Europe, who will respond with fury. That's a prophecy out of Daniel chapter 11. All of these Bible prophecy is alive. It's real. God's given us, he's given us all of the talking points in advance. We can know what's coming. If you haven't read the United States and Britain in prophecy, now would be a good time. I mentioned Daniel 11, the King of the South booklet. That also is at our website. We offer that together with everything else without cost or obligation. Just go to thetrumpet.com or call the 800 number there at the bottom of your screen. Representative Michael Waltz, he was on with Maria Bartiromo. I think this might have been earlier today or maybe on the Sunday show she has. But listen to what he had to say about this crisis.
Emory, it's no surprise that Biden is doing more to constrain Israel than he is to constrain Iran at this point. The biggest way that we could help Israel, help our ally, and actually live up to the rhetoric is cut off Iran's cash. We've been saying it for months that they are exporting more oil than they ever have. They're selling 90% of it to China. So Chinese money is flowing into Tehran that is then flowing out to all of these terrorist proxies, including the Houthis that are cutting off global shipping down in the Red Sea.
Their proxies aren't even being held back either. Look at what's happening in Gaza. Israel, they're doing more to constrain Israel than they are to constrain Iran or any of the Iranian proxies. Listen again to this same representative, clip 4.
You would think that this is the easiest thing that this White House can do. Just cut off the money to Iran. You know, it doesn't involve a military move. It doesn't involve being part of any
That's
retaliation.
Right.
I mean, just cut off the money. And in fact, this administration is doing the opposite.
Right. It's not don't. Don't. What's your response to Iran? Don't. Don't. No, it's do. It's do. Here's the money. Here, we'll even if we know about it coming in advance, all that we'll do is give you a little bit of coaching because, you know, there need to be a few limitations. As long as there's some limits, we're okay if you attack Israel. Listen to clip 5.
Well, obviously, they weren't exactly shaking in their boots from the don't warning, sir. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo reacted on X, writing this. So much for don't. When your Secretary of State declares near moral equivalence between good, our ally Israel, and evil, the Islamic Republic, you get bad guys wreaking destruction, Congressman.
Well, they also know that there's going to be no consequences. So you could have the most powerful, capable military in the world, but if our allies and enemies don't respect or fear you or respect your capability and will to use it, then it's for naught.
They don't. Obviously, the broken will is there, too. They don't respect or fear this administration. In fact, they're receiving aid and comfort and support from Joe Obama. Barack Hussein Obama, He's a traitor. He's guilty of treason. He's attacking the United States. This is part of the fundamental transformation of the U.S. and the Middle East as well. Listen to, who is this? Jake Tapper. He's on with John Bolton's mustache. He's going on about how that we still have to give diplomacy a chance here. Iran gets to do what it wants. Hamas can do what it wants. Here's Jake Tapper from yesterday, clip six.
Nobody wants Armageddon, right? Nobody wants World War III. Nobody wants nuclear weapons used. Nobody wants more death of innocent people. Why are you convinced that your method is the best way to avoid that as opposed to diplomacy, deterrence, and other ways?
Well, how well is diplomacy working so far? Hamas this morning again rejected the ceasefire plan.
Bolton's method, of course, is that Israel has to do something to respond here. Israel has to retaliate in some form or fashion. And Tapper is there with the party line to say, well, what about diplomacy? What about if we talk to them like we've been talking to Hamas, as Bolton just points out there? Hamas doesn't want the ceasefire. They want Israel to stop firing. Hamas wants to remain intact so they can attack Israel again and again and again. China sends in the bill. The United States has signed off on tens of billions of dollars to empower the number one state sponsor of terror. And they've got proxies all over the place. Hezbollah, Houthis, Hamas. Melanie Phillips, strangling Israel slowly. That's what's happening here. Israel is slowly but surely being strangled to death. A remarkable realignment may be underway. Israel and the Arabs versus America and Iran. Well, when you think about Psalm 83 here again, these are some prophecies that are coming into alignment. But just stepping away from it for a moment and consider just how remarkable this is to see Israel reaching out to Arab nations nearby, and then you've got America aligned with Iran. As they say, the dear leader's fingerprints, they are all over this. This is what he wanted from the beginning. Lee Smith has written before about how he had back channel communications going on before he was even brought in as president, before he was even voted in. I mean, we're going back to 2008. You talk about violating the Logan Act. I mean, the things they went after, just in watching this movie last night, the things they went after Mike Flynn for, and his son even, just these obscure misdemeanor type charges, and they weren't even guilty of those. Anything to destroy their political enemy. That's where the radical left really, really tightens the screws and shows some aggression and shows some willingness to strike or to lash out at enemies. It's if it's their political enemies. What country, this is Melanie Phillips, what country other than Israel would be told by the so-called civilized world that it must not respond to an onslaught of more than 300 cruise and ballistic missiles and armed drones fired at the entire country? What other country would say, oh, don't respond? Okay, fine. It says here, if a minute fraction of such an attack were to be mounted against America or Britain, they would declare themselves at war and destroy the enemy before it could attack them again. It's only Israel that's not to be allowed to defend itself in the same way. The hatred for Jews is so strong. And keep in mind, there's a spirit behind this. My father, he touches on that in the Key of David booklet. There is a real spirit world. Satan the devil has a special hatred for the people of Israel, for Jews. He's the lead anti-Semite. And that spirit is so strong, as we've seen on displays, especially since October 7. Listen to Newt Gingrich on Fox Business, clip 8.
To suggest that a country can launch over 300 missiles and drones and have no consequence I think is very dangerous. I mean, remember, the Iranians are learning from this. The Chinese are learning from this. The Russians are learning from this. And if the message is the United States will help defensively, but by the way, you'll suffer no cost, you're just asking for more attacks and a greater danger. I think this is a very dangerous situation. Look, you have an administration which, going all the way back to Obama and to John Kerry as Secretary of State, has consistently been pro-Iranian. They consistently have bent over backwards for the Iranians. They have tolerated Iranian proxies shooting at and killing Americans. They have tolerated the Houthis, who are backed by the Iranians. And no matter what the Iranians do, there's always one more excuse from Biden for American inaction.
This goes all the way back to Obama, who has consistently been pro-Iranian. He is for empowering Iran. He knows about Iran's attack on Israel. He signs off on it. He says, yeah, go ahead. Just be careful. You know, let's not escalate it too much. All the way back to the dear leader. That's all discussed and covered in this book. America is under attack. Well, and so is little Israel, as we can see. Listen to clip. This is John Ratcliffe from the Trump administration, clip 9.
You know, I think all of this highlights what a failure the Biden and before that the Obama administration approaches to Iran really is. And these are the people that have been enriching Iran and encouraging them and allowing them to maintain a nuclear program.
See, here again. They understand nearly all of it, except that when you talk about, what did he say there, too? The failure of the Biden administration, and then before that, the Obama administration, what a failure its approach to Iran really is. But when you look at it from the dear leader's perspective, this is a success. This is what he wants. This is not a failure. This is working his pro-Iranian policies, his pro-Iranian agenda, his give Iran the bomb. He said as much when he spoke at Cairo his first year as president, June of 2009. Well, if some of us countries have, you know, this nuclear power and technology, why shouldn't other countries? Why should we discriminate? Why should some countries be able to build a nuclear bomb and others simply cannot? That's right out of the dear leader's mind. What's behind that? What's the spirit behind that? Let's give the number one state sponsor of terror nuclear weapons. This is not a failure of a policy for the dear leader. This is quite the success. You know, if you step back to even in looking at some of the Western technology that Kirby and others were quick to brag about, yeah, Iran tried to attack Israel, but guess what? I mean, we have the sophisticated technology, and, you know, Israel certainly does. What's it called from one tweet? Exo-atmospheric intercept. It says here, Israel destroys Iran's missiles 100 kilometers above the earth. It could be possibly the first exo-atmospheric interception carried out in actual conflict. Typically, interceptions of this kind are either theoretical or restricted to simulations or drills. And you see some of the footage of this Western technology intercepting these missiles. It's incredible. It's pretty incredible to watch. I mean, we are, just as General Flynn wrote in those little books that he's been promoting, fifth generation warfare. We're entering into a new generation of warfare, and it should sober people. In some cases, it should terrify people. Space warfare. You add in, as I covered last week, all the artificial intelligence. I read to you that article from the Wall Street Journal. The social order could collapse in the AI era. You had all these Japanese officials concerned about the future. What have we done? What have we created? some of the technology, it's spectacular. And when it's used to try to protect human life, well, you cheer it on. What about when it's used to destroy human life? There's lots of people that want to use it for that purpose. From the river to the sea. We just got to get rid of all the Jews and then problem solved. Hamas, Iran, Houthis, you name it. Their solution to the madness in the Middle East, it's a one-state solution. One state for the Arabs, one state for the radical Muslims, and zero state for Israel. Nothing. From the river to the sea. They chant about it at Harvard, you see. In General Flynn's book, by the way, well, let me just back up again to help us appreciate the reality here and what the Bible prophesies. This is from Jesus' Olivet prophecy, Matthew 24, 21. It says, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." It says, "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened." I mean, we get right to the brink. This is from Jesus Christ's own Sermon on the Mount. Or at least the Olivet prophecy. He said it. It's going to get so bad that if we were just left to our own devices, everything would be wiped out. Now that's real. That's real. And I know there's quite the religious fervor, even here in the United States, to get behind MAGA and to have a revival of sorts and to make sure everybody gets out and votes, that we just overwhelm the system. But your Bible has a lot to say about fake religion in these last days. A religion, read it in 2 Timothy 3. It's just a religious in show only. Covers the surface and that's it. We're moving into a new era in warfare, in deception and lies, a new era in technology. And how has man used these advances historically? We had to break, going back to World War I, we had to break through all of those barbed wire fences there in the trenches, right? So they came up with a new and sophisticated technology, the tank. The tank would just roll right over those fences and we could stop with the grueling trench warfare. Well, did that solve the problem with man? Man's inability to get along with fellow man? Did the invention of the tank or air travel, whatever else it is, look at how that is now used in warfare. Look at how, I mean, Jake Tapper says, look, nobody wants, Armageddon or World War III. So easy to just dismiss it still. Even when 300 missiles fly into Israeli airspace, well, surely we'll never get to the point where someone, a madman, will use a nuclear bomb. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Just go read it. In that five-generation warfare, General Flynn and Mr. Boone, he's the co-author, I forget his first name. But it takes you through the first generation pre-gunpowder and then the second generation gunpowder and then the third generation where it becomes mechanized and then the fourth generation nuclear and non-state belligerence. Fifth generation targeting the beliefs of civilians. Just pummel society with fakery and phoniness. It says in the book, manipulation of thoughts and attitudes without people's awareness. Methods, political, diplomacy, lawfare, cyber warfare, fake news, foreign electoral intervention. influencing populations, affecting legitimacy, state actors and non-state. It says the goal is to change the way people think. Change the way they think. Barack Obama, I mean, he's big into this artificial intelligence. Listen to what he said at Stanford. We've played the clips for you on this show before, just 2 years ago, where he's talking about not absolute truth. No, just something that you know, you can tell, you can feel is more true than an absolute truth. We're headed in the wrong direction in many different ways. And an explosion, a Matthew 24, 21, and 22 explosion is coming. We don't know the exact day or the hour, but the pace toward the fulfillment of these prophecies, it is accelerating. My father said, I gave you this quote last week, the great danger of AI is the spirit behind the men controlling it. Look at what human nature has produced. And Satan deceives us because, well, some of it's used for good purposes. Look at artificial intelligence. Or 20 years ago, look at the iPhone. Yeah, we think we're so far advanced. But evil is spreading at a faster pace because of technology. Doesn't take it very long to encircle the globe. My father says manipulating artificial intelligence is a powerful way to manipulate the minds of the masses. It also opens new possibilities in advanced warfare. Whoever understands this technology has a significant advantage in this world. It seems certain that some will exploit the dark side of AI. There is a dark side, and it's already being exposed. I got into some of that just last week. Well, look at where we are, 47 minutes in, and I haven't been able to talk about the attack or the Get Trump assault that's happening even as we speak in Manhattan. When we come back, we'll hopefully have a few minutes to get into that. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily news, Bible prophecy. See the connection on the Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need the Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need the Trumpet Daily. Only the Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to TrumpetDaily.com.
Can you also talk about how Trump could and is already using this to foment ambiguity and anger in this country?
Yeah. In one of his first public speeches, Abraham Lincoln said that if the American Republic were ever to fall, it would not fall to a foreign foe. It would fall to a tyrant who rose among us. And yeah. I think that's essentially where we are. You're exactly right. What's unfolding in Manhattan today is part of a larger story about Donald Trump, his behavior, his view of whether or not American democracy exists for the good of the country or for the good of Donald Trump. The question is going to be, as we head into this presidential election, is will a sufficient number of those people stand by Donald Trump come what may, including a felony conviction, including possibly convictions, certainly trials, about overturning an election that he just didn't like, right? That's on trial. So truth and democracy are on trial this year.
Overturning the election is on trial, says the fake historian. They're trying to put Donald Trump in prison on a campaign finance violation, a misdemeanor that they've blown up into some kind of a felony. I'll give you Turley's take on it in just a second. But consider these people, these deranged commentators, including the resident historian, one of them. Put him together with Beschloss, by the way. What a duo that would be. Here they are talking about Donald Trump using these court cases to foment ambiguity and anger. Trump, he's in court today trying to defend himself. He knows what this is. Most of America knows what this is. But these people are sick. They're sick. This was from, actually, General Flynn just told us about this guy. The one in the middle, I believe, is Norm Eisen. At least I know the one on the left in this tweet. The Conway fella. They're all at the trial in Manhattan today. You know, the so-called hush money campaign violation trial from years and years and years ago. And these guys, these radical Marxist left-wing get Trumpers, I mean, it's like they're going into court with popcorn and candy, and they're going to be live tweeting the event. These are truly sick and deranged people. And Joe Biden and his White House, Joe Obama, actually, they're running this case. They're going after Trump. And Mika's concerned if Trump might use this to foment anger. Well, who's fomenting anger? Who's causing this division? The circus begins. Speaking of sickness, listen, this isn't, I mean, it doesn't really have anything to do with this Manhattan case. But listen to Bill Maher, the funny man, saying the quiet part out loud with respect to abortion, clip 7.
Like, I can respect the absolutist position. I really can. I scold the left on when they say, oh, you know what? They just hate women, people who aren't pro-life, pro-choice. They don't hate women. They just made that up. They think it's murder. And it kind of is. I'm just okay with that. I am. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm sorry, we won't miss you. That's my position on that.
And the crowd slips into a state of stunned silence. It is murder. And I agree with it. We've got too many people on planet Earth anyway, so why not kill some of them? You're not going to be missed. So what does he get for that kind of sickness? Well, a weekly show, why not? Millions of dollars, why not? Show up at the Trump trial and live tweet your way through. Yeah, we got to get the jury. We got to make sure they're all from downtown Manhattan. Make sure they're all deep, dark blue, just like in the D.C. courts. And see if we can put Trump behind bars so that we never, ever, ever have to worry about him running for office again. But listen, Donald Trump defending himself, I mean, that might foment anger in the country. The attack on America is real. Donald Trump said this outside the courtroom just this morning, clip 10.
People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is.
This is a case that he's very much involved in, the dear leader. You know, it was riveting last night just watching the Flynn documentary to see. I asked him, by the way, I asked him yesterday when we had the interview, General Flynn. I said, "Why did Obama hate you so much?" And pretty much in the interview, the exchange. He said, "You'll have to watch the movie. It's in the movie, and be forewarned if you get it on Amazon, it does contain curse words, quite a few of them actually." And we had them bleeped out last night. But Obama went after him because he knew that General Flynn would expose all the evil and the lawless corruption in these departments that Barack Hussein Obama had so completely and thoroughly weaponized. And so they had to destroy Flynn. They had to assault Flynn and his family. And that documentary is about how his family, with the help of quite a few others, fought back and won in the end. But now it's the same spirit, the same lawfare strategy, now going after Donald Trump. Oh, I mean, just throw everything at him. 4 lawsuits, 91 felony counts, hundreds of years in prison. Listen to Jonathan Turley as he comments on the Manhattan case, clip 11.
In this case, you're taking this misdemeanor, reviving it because it was dead, suggesting a crime that doesn't exist, and then hitting Trump with dozens of counts. Most citizens, at least outside New York, see that for what it is. It's the weaponization of the criminal justice system.
Just create a crime that doesn't exist. And then put it in New York. There's going to be a jury there that can convict Donald Trump, just like in D.C. But most people, as he says there, at least outside of New York, they see this for what it is. We've sat on this story for a few weeks. It's about John Stewart, another not-so-funny man that's out there making more appearances of late. It says John Stewart is facing online backlash after the comedian opined on air this week that Donald Trump's civil real estate case for overvaluing his properties was not victimless. Remember, they got Trump on the overvaluation of his properties. He said it was worth this, and then some bank or some insurance carrier came along and said, no, it's not worth that much. And John Stewart's out there saying, look, there were a lot of victims. Who suffered? When it turns out the price of a previous home sale finds John Stewart doing the exact same thing. Imagine that, John Stewart believing his property was worth more than it actually was. But for John Stewart, now he can do that. He can do that in New York. He can do it wherever he wants because he's John Stewart. He comes from the left, you see. It's like Peter Navarro as compared to Hunter Biden. Two totally different standards. It says here, it didn't take long for the internet sleuths to look into Stewart's own property history, which shows an overvaluation of his New York City penthouse by a staggering 829%. You can't make this up. Guilty of exactly what they go after Trump for. It says here, in 2014, Stewart sold his 6,000 square foot Tribeca duplex for $17.5 million. The property's asking price at the time is not available in listing records, but according to 2013-14 assessor records obtained by the Post, the property had an estimated value of only $1.8 million. But he thought it was worth 17-something million. That's pretty amazing. The level of hypocrisy. What does Jesus say about the sin of hypocrisy? He says, avoid it like you would leaven, because a little bit of it, just a tiny bit of hypocrisy, will just explode into sin all over the place. That's all we have time for on today's show. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.